Sometimes things work when you try. In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. About a year and a half ago, St. Andrew's Cathedral entered into a time of transition between the departure of one dean and the arrival of another. Dean David Elliott has been your temporary shepherd thus far in this time, and I have the privilege of being your temporary shepherd for the remainder of the journey of transition. Your wardens, vestry, and other members of this cathedral community, along with Bishop Sage, Canon Stevens, who's with us this morning, and the diocesan staff, have extended generous hospitality for which Gay and I give thanks to God. I've been invited to join you in this stage of your journey because I'm a transition specialist. This time of transition is a rare opportunity for you to remember where you have been as a people of God, who you are at this particular point in history, to strengthen your leaders, to reinforce your connections with the wider church and the community, and to prepare to commit to a new era of fruitful mission with a new spiritual leader. My primary role is to guide you, support you, and encourage you as you do these things. Transitions are often daunting, but the truth is we all have experience with transitions. And the longer we live, the wiser and less anxious most people are when faced with change, even Episcopalians. There are exceptions, however. I recall the story of a reporter who was interviewing a man who was celebrating his 100th birthday. And the reporter said, "Mr. Smith, you've lived a very long life. I'll bet you've seen lots of changes." And the man replied to the reporter, "I sure have, Sonny, and I've been against every one of them." Our faith is supposed to help us during times of transition. So when the transition has to do with our faith, it takes on added dimensions. And that's why we'll work so diligently during these months together to draw from the depths of our spiritual resources in this particular time of passage. In truth, the story of our faith is the story of transition, the story of change, the story of transformation. Even a brief encounter with the sacred texts that inform and shape us bears that out. For instance, in the beginning, we read of the transition from nothing to everything, from dark to light, from innocence to disobedience. And then there's God's call to Noah and his family and Abraham and his descendants to leave what was and to make the transition to what is to be. There is Jacob, whom God transforms into Israel through years of exile and soul searching. There's Moses, whom God calls to lead the children of Israel from captivity to freedom, and all the details of their resistance to the changes required of them if they were going to live in that freedom. There's Joshua, who is saddled with the task of making a nation of these people. There are accounts of kings and prophets who worked with our ancestors in faith through times of transition. And central to the message of Jesus is the call to repent. Metanoiete, turn, change, gain a new perspective, live a new life, be transformed by God at work in your lives. The first disciples were minding their own business when Jesus called them, "Follow me," and they left their business and went with him. The risen Christ encountered Saul, persecutor of the early church, on the road to Damascus and transformed him into Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Change leads to transition, which leads to transformation. And that's where we're headed together. Today's readings in particular are examples of how transition is the norm in the story of faith that has been handed down to us. We see that times of change are opportunities for epiphanies. A new Pharaoh arose in Egypt who did not know the patriarch Joseph and his family, the Israelites. Those foreigners had grown in number and represented a threat to Pharaoh. So he gave orders to oppress them and limit their freedom. This transition led to the birth of Moses, who would eventually lead the Israelites into the wilderness, into their transformation from slaves in Egypt to a nation of free people. The psalmist sings about that transition. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus prompts a transition in how his followers understand him and how they are then to understand themselves. If those who follow him believe that he is the Messiah, that has powerful implications for how they understand who they are and how they understand the messianic mission that is being entrusted to them. St. Paul writes to those early Christians in Rome about ways they will be different because of their life as the body of Christ. As he describes that life, he speaks of the gifts they have been given and about the fruitfulness and witness that will be the result of those gifts when they are used. He uses the language of transition. And in that same openness, wonder, and humility, you and I will advance on our spiritual journey together. Right now, our journey is taking us through a time of remarkable transition in our world and in our country. Many people are frightened by the prospect of transition and seek to maintain the status quo or what in their imaginations might be considered the way things used to be. Some are pushed over the edge and carry out violent and terroristic acts. Some express themselves in rhetoric that incites more violence. Some are unconscious of their own fear of those whose skin or language or religion or politics are not the same as theirs. And the challenge before us as a community of Christians is to discern how to express the eternal values of our faith in ways that heal and transform and have a redemptive influence on the transition that is occurring in the world at our doorstep. So today, I invite you to engage with one another, with your bishop, with the wider church, and with me, as we walk together in the journey of transition. It will not always be easy. We hope that often it will be fun. There will be changes that we don't understand or like. There will be new faces, different ideas, and unfamiliar procedures. Sometimes we will stumble and fall. Sometimes we will rise up victorious. We'll have to learn new languages, we'll have to listen more carefully, and we'll have to speak with greater thoughtfulness. But it will be exciting for those who approach the journey with a spirit of adventure, trusting in God and trusting one another. And most of all, love divine, living and active among us, will continue to mold and shape us into the new creatures God wants to have in this place in the days to come. That will be our source of the courage, the hope, the creativity, and the patience that will be required. As we journey together, let us remember that it is not really about us. It is about God. It is not about our limited resources or our limited perspectives. It is about the abundant resources of our bountiful God and God's great vision of a creation redeemed and restored. The God who has led us this far will continue to lead so that God's reign will come and God's desires will be accomplished on earth as in heaven. Titus Pressler, Episcopal priest, theologian, missiologist, has said this: mission is not fundamentally something we do as Christians, but a quality of God's own being. It is not a program of ours, but the path of God's action in the world. The mission of the church, therefore, derives from the mission of God, and it has meaning only in relation to what God is up to in the universe. Already engaged in mission, God simply invites us to participate in what God is doing. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. We are the delivery system. The lesson for us is that the things we do in prayer and discernment for the sake of this cathedral's future will in large part determine the future. So after the new dean is here, it will be important to remember this time of transition and the spiritual underpinnings it holds. Like those we read about in the Hebrew scriptures during their times of transition in the life of the people of God, like the disciples trying to understand the transition from their former lives to the role of apostles, and like those apostles in the transition involving passing the mantle to the next generation of church leaders, we turn to God. Following the departure of a pastor and friend, giving thanks for the things that were accomplished under his leadership and those who came before him, humbly acknowledging our need for divine resources to lead us through this time of uncertainty into the future God has in mind, and asking for those things that will glorify God and build up this community of faith for the work that lies before you. The people of St. Andrews have been entrusted with an amazing heritage. Your leadership and mission in this community, and even more so as the leading Episcopal congregation in this state, matter in uncommon ways. As Jesus said to Peter, when Peter was in the midst of a personal epiphany, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required." Each time you enter this house of worship, I hope that the baptismal water will remind you of why you came back, to give thanks for the gift of baptism and its implications for your lives. And each time you leave, I hope this water will remind you that what has happened to you here is all about what lies beyond those doors. Those doors open outwards into the mission field at our doorstep, into which we're sent at the end of each service. We're called out from the world in order to be nourished and fortified and unified, to be sent back out to be light and leaven and salt as we continue the incarnate mission of Christ in our day. Divine wisdom dwelt in all its fullness in the one who is our host today at the banquet we're about to share. Wisdom and grace at this table are as abundant as the waters of your rivers and lakes, as packed with energy as the fertile soil your ancestors and mine tilled to bring forth bountiful harvests, as strong as the current in the Mississippi River, and as generous as the hospitality you extend to your guests. As we gather to receive this gift, we will be united as an authentic community and nourished for the roles we are to play and the work we're to do in the days that lie ahead. And then we will be sent out to make a difference, the difference God wants to be brought about specifically by God's trusting people who are known around these parts as the Episcopalians. for the sake of the world, for which our Savior Jesus Christ gave his life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.